Welcome to the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. In this episode, we're going over the recent mock draft of one of the best in the business, one of the most plugged in guys that we have in this industry. It is Daniel Jeremiah. He released his 3.0 mock draft over at NFL.com. You guys should go read it. And as you are reading it, come back to this podcast and listen to what the most surprising selections were, according to myself and Connor. I'm Trevor Sycamore. With me, as always, is Connor Rogers. Let's ring the bell. Bell of the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. I'm Trevor Sycamore. That is Connor Rogers joining you in the middle of the week for a little bit more mock draft madness. I know you guys are probably sick of mock drafts in the title of these videos, but we have a treat for you over the next two episodes. We've structured out what the show is going to look like. I know, Connor, look at us planning. Who would have thought?
We're getting good.
Not
after
me.
A full year of doing this, we actually... We don't know what we're doing, but we're pretending well.
We have planned out kind of what we want this show to look like between now and draft weekend. And so we've got a lot of really cool stuff coming up for you. But these two shows here in the middle of the week, we kind of left open. We didn't really have anything. A lot of that structure starts on Monday, and we're going to get to that later. But because timing loves us, two of the GOATs, two of the godfathers of the draft, Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper Jr., dropped their most recent post-free agency mock drafts. So we're going to tell you what the biggest surprises were in our minds. Today, for this episode, we got Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com, a good friend who is incredible at what he does, has such a great, not only eye for scouting, but ear for what is going on around the NFL. So very pumped to get into some of these selections of his latest mock draft. But before we get to that, Connor, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. We were laughing, full transparency, before we sat down to record. Well, no, we did sit down to record. And Trevor and I like really beat around the bush for a while before we pressed the record button. For people that don't know this, we talk, we fix all the things going on wrong around us, whether it's dogs for him, it's a million things for me with sirens.
It's true.
And all of a sudden, I yelled, like, oh, fuck. And he's like, what? And I'm like, well, no, everything's fine with the pod. I was like, Elijah Moore just got traded. So I don't have to do anything. It's just like, whoa. So yeah, that's how this show started. It has nothing to do with today's show, kind of. So yeah, here we are, man. I'm well. We're having fun.
I wish so badly we would have just gotten the live one first.
Oh, it was good.
My face was like, I was like, what?
You thought somebody in my apartment died.
Right. Like, yeah. Or Aaron Rodgers got traded. One
or
of the
Aaron
two.
Aaron Rodgers got traded to not the Jets.
I don't know which one would have been more pressing for you to have to leave and not do the podcast. But Elijah Moore, congratulations on the Cleveland Browns. I guess it's what was it? Pick swap for the second round pick?
Yeah, the Browns move out of their two into the Jets three. Which kind of makes you wonder, you know, back to the drafts, or is that other pick, I think 43, going to go back to Green Bay from the Jets now? And the Jets didn't want to lose their two. And
very,
I mean,
interesting.
This is good for the Browns, for, you know, a player that has a lot of upside and clear, like, for the Jets to get that kind of return, like, that speaks that they really didn't see his long-term home being with them. It's pretty wild. Pretty wild move.
And man, much more. Good wide receiver. Wish it would have worked out for the Jets.
Yeah, but I think everybody does.
The Browns definitely needed a wide receiver.
They need.
You know what, Connor?
Rest in peace, Tank Dell.
I was just about to say it.
Damn it.
The bet is off the table.
This trade stinks.
The bet is off the table. Bet is off the table. This changes everything.
His one home. In the second round.
All right. Obviously, you guys can tell we're going to have a lot of fun here on this episode, but let's fire it up. You guys who are either watching on YouTube, you can pull up another tab. If you're listening to this, you can pull up whatever you're using, Chrome, Safari, something on your phone. And you can listen to the podcast while we go over this bad boy. It's over on NFL.com. It's not behind a paywall, so you guys can go see it for free. And there's all of DJ's thoughts, analysis, and picks there. And we're going to tell you what the biggest surprises were. We're not going to go through every single selection. We're going to make these two shows a little bit shorter for you, see how they do, see if you like these a little bit better. But, Connor, I guess I'll start with you, man. When you look at DJ's 3.0 post-free agency mock draft, where does your mind go first? Wonder if it's at the top of the list or maybe a little bit further down. For a surprise that you really want to dig into?
Not a surprise, but let's start at number one, and then we're going to work pretty quickly downward, because a lot of the, you know, 2 through 10 is pretty chalky. Mm-hmm. Nothing shocking. But number one is such a hot storyline right now because, quite frankly, nobody really knows what the Panthers are going to do. But Daniel Jeremiah, who I think I would comfortably say has the biggest power to shift mock draft processes, which does reflect on betting boards. Right. I mean, there was a time, Trevor, where like CJ Stroud, I think, made it to minus 400 to be the number one pick to the Panthers. And everyone was like, oh, well, they're taking him. Right. And then when a guy like Daniel Jeremiah puts Bryce Young there, and we had Bryce number one in our most recent mock draft, it just goes to show you that, like, no, this thing's pretty open right now. This is going to be interesting. I do know, and obviously he does too, there are Bryce Young fans in Carolina that would like him to be the pick, but there's obviously people that also like Stroud. So it's going to go down to the wire. And I just thought, hey, we got to acknowledge that Bryce Young is still in contention to be the first overall pick.
Yeah, and I think you and I talked about this on the Monday episode. I don't know if just because it's new, right? Everybody likes to talk about the new, shiny, different options and everything after the combine and all that. And Carolina makes the trade after that. And all we heard about was CJ Stroud, and who had a phenomenal combine performance, especially out there passing, looked like the best pure passer of the group. And then, of course, like what Anthony Richardson was able to do. And those are the two guys that we continue to hear about as options at number one overall for the Carolina Panthers. I felt like we barely even heard about Bryce Young. Like, nobody was talking about it. And I didn't know.
It went like
know...
Anthony Richardson Stroud.
Yeah.
Right away.
And I didn't know if that was because we really were moving on, or people were learning that Carolina was much more in on AR and CJ Stroud than Bryce Young, or if it was just the fact that we talked about Bryce Young so long, everybody wants to talk about something new. So with DJ putting Bryce at number one, I do think that at least notifies us that this is not out of the question. It's not like a guarantee that the Texans are now going to get Bryce Young or something like that. There is a realistic path to where Young could still be the number one overall pick. So I'm glad that you pointed that one out there. Can I go a little bit further down from my first one? This, I want to talk about the Seattle Seahawks, and Seattle is picking at number 5 in this draft. And they end up taking Jalen Carter, which Carter not getting out of the top 5, I think is notable in and of itself, right? Because we were wondering how some of these more, I don't want to say like more plugged in, but I certainly in this situation, DJ is one of the most plugged in draft analysts that we have from behind the curtain and sources that he has from around the league and in front offices. If DJ would have mocked Jalen Carter to, let's say, the Titans at 11, I'd have been like, oh boy,
it's real. Yeah.
Okay. At that point, his stock is the wild, wild west. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen. He could have been anywhere in the top 20. But the fact that he's still at 5 does make me believe that a lot of these teams are just looking at the insane talent that Jalen Carter is. And I think that we've got a little bit of a process here over the next month to see where he ends up. But I think that him going in the top 5 of the draft is still on the table. Wasn't sure if it was going to be completely off. All of that to say, if you go up to his little blurb at number 3 overall, where he has the Cardinals selecting Will Anderson, he says, I won't be surprised if the Cardinals trade this pick to Indianapolis, Las Vegas, or Seattle. He mentions the Seattle Seahawks at number 5. I think that you could certainly say that they maybe would move up if they love Will Anderson and they really want to try to get Will Anderson. But I also think that him mentioning Seattle as a trade-up team makes it feel like they're more into this quarterback frenzy than maybe we have been giving the situation credit for. What do you think about this?
I mean, here's what you always do, right, Trevor? When you've done all the work and you put all the thought into it and you've heard certain things, another point of research you could do is look into contracts. And I look at the structure of Geno Smith's deal, and I look at the state of the Seattle Seahawks roster and the age of the coach, and I go, when is Seattle going to be even close to this again in Pete Carroll's lifetime? They should never be. They should never be picking in this range for a quarterback. So if not now, when? And I love Geno Smith, and I'm blown away by the deal they were able to negotiate with him, where in all reality – he could be there another 3 years. He could be there another one season. That's the flexibility that they have with the Geno Smith contract. So I find Pete Carroll an interesting person to analyze. He's somebody that, like, he's been very vocal in funny ways at the combine. And I think that he's somebody that he's so open and honest sometimes. He's talked about trading the pick, I believe. He's talked about keeping the pick, all these different things. He's talked about needing to get bigger and better in the front seven. That it just feels like it shouldn't shock anybody if Seattle is in on the quarterback flip. Now, the big problem, I guess, Trevor, though, is, like, do they trade with Arizona? Right. And we did see the Lions trade with Minnesota in the first round last year. So you never say never. Arizona, I think, needs to step back and be like, we need to do what's right for us, not petty division rivalries. But that's a little layer. But no, I do think it's on the table for Seattle to be in the quarterback class.
I think you never deal with a team within your division is, I understand where it comes from. But at the end of the day, if you think you're getting the better of the deal, why wouldn't you do it? You're not making a trade unless you think you're getting better, the better end of the deal. I mean, like, that's just a fact. Even if it is even, right? Like, even if you think the trade is even, you believe that the player that you're going to move to select, or the players that you're going to move to select, are going to benefit you more. That's why you're making the move. A lot of people look at it and go, oh, you can never trade with a team within your division. You can never, like, help them. If you know they're going up for a quarterback, maybe this is a little bit different, and I will definitely give you that.
But yeah, that is a difference maker. It's like, we have to see this guy.
Long. So, like, quarterback, like many other things, exists in a world of its own. But outside of quarterback selections, if you think you're getting the better of the deal, doesn't that only make it even sweeter that you think you're getting the better of the deal against a divisional rival? I don't know. Yeah. I always felt like that. I always felt like that was a little overplayed and overblown. Unless a quarterback's involved, I really don't think it's that big of a deal. Now, in this instance, it might for Seattle. So that would go into this particular example here. But outside of that, I think that that's funny. You mentioned the Geno Smith contract, and I don't know how many people have taken a look at the details of it since it's come out. So Geno signed a 3-year, $75 million contract, but only $27.3 million is guaranteed at signing, and this is basically a 1-year deal with an out immediately after this coming season. He's only a $10 million cap hit this coming year. He's got a dead cap hit of that 27.3. So it's all right there this year. Next year, he jumps from a $10 million cap hit to a $31 million cap hit. And then the year after that, he goes up to 33.7. They could save 14 mil on the cap if they cut him next offseason, and they could save 25 mil on the cap if they cut him the season after that. So essentially, you are right. I don't think enough people are honest with the fact that the Geno Smith extension does not take them out of the quarterback conversation. And that was just an area of this mock draft in particular that I found very, very interesting, especially in the top five. But what do you got next?
We go all the way down to 11 with the Titans.
Yeah, sure.
I love this pick. The Titans taking Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I mean, listen,
they need him.
Tennessee is in a weird place. They need so much help on the offensive line. Not so much help. They need help on the offensive line. They did make some additions in free agency. But man, like, and I like Treylon Burks a lot. It's not enough. And I think in this class, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is worth a top 15 selection. I like this pick for Tennessee. And it fits Vrabel's identity of being a tough football team where this dude will catch everything over the middle of the field. He's an assassin, great routes, great work ethic, can take a hit, pop back up. I mean, he'll do everything you ask of him. So this was one of those ones we hadn't seen yet. And I'm like, why not? Why not if you're Tennessee, take Jaxon Smith-Njigba? And you're rolling with Ryan Tannehill, who I know this is like taboo to say, when healthy, and he dealt with the ankle all last year, Ryan Tannehill's a solid quarterback. If you're going to roll with him for one more year on that expiring deal, give him something to work with. Tannehill throwing to JSN and Treylon Burks, and we don't know if they're going to trade Derrick Henry or not. I mean, I'm not saying the Titans are back in contention for the division. I actually think they're in a pretty significant retooling phase. But if you're Rand Carthen, you know, hit a double here. You don't have to hit a grand slam. Hit a double. Mm-hmm. It's your first rounder. You got a lot of work to do on this roster. You got one of the best coaches in football. Just hit a double. And I think that's what Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the best wide receiver in this class. So I was a big fan of this, and I just like how this mock draft from Jeremiah, and I think it was very purposeful while also remaining true to himself and his info, showed, you know, off the cuff scenarios that we need to start discussing, which you and I tried to do on Monday as well.
Sure. Right. Because I agree with you. This is definitely an intriguing selection because we have not seen this one before. From Jaxon Smith-Njigba's angle and from everything that you said, I do agree with it. But for a player in JSN who is a slot exclusive guy, now it can be a damn good one, but a slot exclusive player, to me, it depends on what they think of Treylon Burks. Because Burks played mostly on the outside last year with Tennessee. That was not the case at Arkansas.
Yep.
He played a lot in the slot over, especially those last two seasons. I've got numbers. Hold on. Let me make sure I have them completely right. So in his career at Arkansas, Treylon Burks, and this is, yes, we're talking about big 6'2", 225-pound Treylon Burks, a guy who you think has the body type to be able to play on the outside and a guy who looks like an outside wide receiver. Throughout his three-year college career at Arkansas, he played over 1,300 snaps from the slot and only 242 out wide. That's just not what he did.
Yep.
Tennessee played him on the outside last year. So if they have confidence that he can be an outside receiver, then all of a sudden, a lot of those slot snaps free up. You can get a guy like Jaxon Smith-Njigba there. I agree that he'd be a great addition for Ryan Tannehill. He would really help out that offense, giving them a different kind of weapon. But if this coaching staff goes, yeah, we tried last year and he was not the player on the outside that we wanted him to be. We think that he's probably going to go as more of a slot player. That's my only holdup here. And that was my only, when I saw this one, I agree with you. At first, I was like, ooh, this is interesting. I like it. And then I thought about how it would complement Treylon Burks, and it just depends on their outlook of him. So that was my initial thoughts there as well.
Absolutely. I think we skip now to the Jets with Nolan Smith, because it's more about Nolan Smith than the Jets, right?
Yeah.
It's about both.
A top 15 selection, right, from Nolan Smith. And yep. Not to give away too much, because I'm sure that we'll talk about this a little bit on the next episode as well when we go over Mel Kiper's mock draft. But the man is trending up, you know,
he's flying. He's flying, man.
To get back to the roots of this show, the stock is up. His stock is going up, and we are seeing...
We haven't done that in a while.
His mock draft stock trending in the right direction. So what do you think? I mean, what do you think about the fit for the Jets, but then just overall us seeing Nolan Smith a lot higher in these mocks?
Tricky for me, right? Because I like Nolan Smith. I will raise my hand. I don't love Nolan Smith as like this top 10-ish kind of guy, because I don't think he has figured out how to rush the passer yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird when you say that, because he's still a good football player. He's great against the run. He's tough in the trenches. When you have that kind of explosive nature off the edge, you can run yourself into some sacks. Like, when I say you don't know how to rush the passer, it doesn't mean you have a plan to generate consistent pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just so dang explosive that you find a way sometimes. And so it's tricky for me. And DJ makes a really good point that not enough people are talking about. Bryce Huff is an RFA, so he'll be back for one more year, and then they got to figure it out with him. Carl Lawson is back for one more year unless they cut him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Jets can get thin at edge rusher, and Robert Saleh's defense, and for the fans of, you know, Seattle, the Texans, the Niners, like, same kind of front. Like, it's based on the edge rush. So this is a logical choice in a sense. Like, it could be a real need. He's an all-character kind of player. He's a good football player. I'm having trouble projecting Nolan Smith as this masterclass pass rusher. Like, is he just a good one? And he's not right. One right now. He's pretty average right now as a pass rusher. Like, can he be a good one? Well, if I'm taking him at 13 and I have significant issues on the offensive line and I have Aaron Rodgers coming to town, this is a tough bet. You could tell, Trevor, I'm like battling this one back and forth.
Yeah, because you like the player, like you like yes. Nolan Smith, but in this mock draft in particular, not saying that this couldn't happen, but
Paris Johnson was there.
They passed Paris Johnson, and I think they passed Broderick Jones too.
Yeah, right? he went at 17.
Yeah, Jones doesn't go until 17. So are you passing over Paris Johnson Jr. or Broderick Jones for Nolan Smith? Probably not, but I think it brings up a good conversation. I think we're going to have more of the Nolan Smith conversation as well in the Kuiper episode that we're releasing tomorrow.
Yeah, we can keep it moving.
We gotta go down to 19.
This is the one I've been the most excited for.
This is not a let's talk about the Buccaneers Homer selection from.
I mean, it kind of no, it's
from
not
Tampa
Homer.
Bay Trey here, but
we have to talk about the Buccaneers.
He has them taking Will Levis at 19. Now, the biggest surprise here is not the Buccaneers taking a quarterback. I think they would if any of them made it all the way to 19. It's the fact that we had quarterback 3 going off the board at number 4 overall, right? We went Bryce Young at 1, we went CJ Stroud at 2, we went Anthony Richardson at 4. So that's 3 out of the first 4 picks in this mock draft are quarterback. We have been told that it is a big 4, right? We have been operating the entire time as if it is a big 4. Again, little foreshadowing, little teasing. When we get to Kuiper's mock draft, he's going to have Levis going a little bit higher. Just letting you guys know, we're going to have that conversation on that episode. The gap between where Richardson went at 4 and where Levis went at 19, I think that's the part that I cannot, that I just don't think is going to happen. That's the biggest surprise to me, that there is that big of a gap there, especially over some teams that maybe would go for that quarterback upgrade if they felt like Levis gave them that potential. But as we said at the very beginning of the podcast, Connor, DJ is a plugged-in dude. Now, does that mean that every single pick is going to be like a fortune teller kind of a pick? No. I'm not putting that kind of pressure on him, because he's going about this, enjoying the process, having fun, thinking of different scenarios, just like we all are. But I don't think it comes out of nowhere. So what do you think? Levis going 19 overall. Obviously, it makes a ton of sense for the Bucs' current situation. They don't have the confirmed long-term starter there, but what do you think about Levis lasting all the way to the bottom of the top 20?
Well, this is where I think he should be drafted, right? Go to a place that you are afforded the luxury to sit and develop and not be drafted in the top 7 as this franchise savior. I like this for Will Levis a lot, and it helps that they got good wide receivers. Like, there's a lot of good in this scenario. DJ did a good job of writing in, if Levis starts to slide, I believe a team like Tampa Bay will trade up to get him. Mm-hmm. So back to your point of like, it feels really unlikely Will Levis falls out of the top 15. I am still sitting here wondering, are the Raiders going to sit there at 7 and be like, hey, if he falls to us, we'll take him. If he doesn't, we'll take a player to make our team better. And then you go, here's the one for me, Trevor. How the hell does Will Levis get by Washington?
Right.
I'm not like killing this pick.
That's the thing. Like, I think that DJ might be operating. First of all, I'm glad that you read the blurb of him saying if Levis starts to slide, somebody's probably going to trade up for him, because I think that's the case as well. But I do agree with you. There's just too many teams, it feels like, even outside of the top 10 that wouldn't take the chance on him. Tennessee sitting there at 11. You know, the Commanders sitting there at 16. Like, these are teams that would take the flyer on. No question about it, if you ask me, even for whatever you think of Levis. But to your very first point, this feels like where Levis should have gone all along. It's just, you know, high trait ceiling quarterbacks we know go higher than
you
maybe
pay the tax.
You pay the tax.
I think it's a toll.
Is it a toll? Is the quarterback toll?
Oh, man. You ever maybe go across the GW? It's like $20. It's expensive.
$20. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, getting in New York City sucks, let me tell you. The quarterback toll.
Yeah, but man, that was obviously a shocking one. We're going to get to another quarterback in a second, but before we get to that pick, I wanted to point out, one, Seattle Seahawks, he has them going wide receiver, but Jackson Smith and Jigba is off the board because Jackson Smith and Jigba went 11. He still had them going wide receiver with Jordan Addison. Felt like that was very interesting there. Baltimore Ravens. Joey Porter Jr., baby. We've been on the train. We started the train a couple of weeks ago when we had them trading up for a guy like Joey Porter Jr. I think he's going to be very much on their radar. And that brings us to number 23 overall. And one Hendon Hooker getting into the first round here. Now, the blurb from Jeremiah, I'll read it off before I ask you, Connor, what you think about it and how we got here. Quote, the Vikings have been doing their homework on this quarterback class. Hooker is well-liked around the league, and he could sit for a year behind Kirk Cousins before taking over and ushering in a new era for Kevin O'Connell. What do we think, my friend?
I think Hendon Hooker is going in the first round. And I really do. It's funny how you get here, right? You go full circle. Like, this happens to a quarterback every year. I've done it with Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield. The guy, and everybody does this. You watch him, and like in November, you're like, man, that's my day two quarterback. And then you realize, you're like, hey, idiot, if you're saying that, the league is not letting him go to day two. So
Magic Johnson, I'm not going to be there, me.
Yeah, I'm not going to be there. That's what it feels like. So Hendon Hooker was not everybody's, but plenty of people's favorite day two quarterback.
Sure.
I thought with the age and the injury, it was going to be the top of round three. And now I've just come full circle where it's like, you know what? The guy can play. He's got good tape.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great interview. He's a really bright guy. He's got a big body. He can run a little bit. I mean, he's going to go in the first round. And it's either a team in this range, like say Washington would be a little early, but we'll start with them. And or it's somebody trading back into round one and getting the option, the fifth year option is kind of that Willy Wonka ticket now for quarterbacks.
Right,
you almost have to have it if you really believe in a guy.
Well, it's important for quarterbacks, and it would be especially important for Hendon Hooker because he's missing the first year no matter what, right? So if you're in on him at all,
probably. I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's there's no way
that was
no
pretty
way
late.
Right, there's no way I would think that he would be able to give you meaningful football outside of maybe for a team that's absolutely tanking. You throw him in there, maybe the second last game of the season or something like that. But yeah, all of a sudden that extra year on the contract becomes paramount for him. It would just be wild to me because I agree. It seems like Hendon Hooker is well liked around the rest of the league. It feels like everything that we've heard, he's interviewed very, very well. Every team that's talked to him has loved him. Obviously, he had a phenomenal year before he got hurt, but it's like, okay, you get a 25-year-old rookie coming off a major knee surgery. He's missing his first year no matter what. You're basically putting all the cards against him. He was not nearly this good of a quarterback until this past year for a stacked offense with a unique offensive coordinator. All of those things would just it makes it hard to believe that he would be a first-round pick, but perhaps the demand for him and just how much the teams are like, man, I like this guy. Let's get him. I know the Lions are a team that likes him as well a lot. I don't know if they're going to pick him at 18, but maybe trading back up into the first round to get that fifth year. But yeah, we had to have the Hendon Hooker conversation. So
had to have it.
Anybody else here that you want to highlight as we're getting into the back part of the draft?
I mean, Mousy Smith in the first round is just too much for me. I got to be honest. Mm-hmm.
He's got to go at 26 to Dallas.
He's massive. He's a freak. I get it. I really do. There's just, it always starts with like, hey, there's not a lot of guys this size that can move like this.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Very true. He never really put together like a full productive season at Michigan. The tape is here solid. For his size, do I wish he can eat more double teams or at least like compete against them? Yeah, I do. That was why I was hoping to love him in round two. I'm like, hey, get a big two gapping run stuffer that has some athleticism upside for pass rushing. It's just,
oh, it's a Keanu Benton.
Yes, literally.
Keanu Benton is literally is Keanu Benton to me is who people want Mozzie Smith to be.
I completely agree. It's like, I don't know if it's the Wisconsin logo on him or like what it is that he just like, he's probably just like, you know, lunch pail.
Right.
And it's like, no, he has skill. He has skill on him. So, I mean, full transparency, I have Keanu Benton ranked ahead of Mozzie Smith.
As you should.
So, yeah, and when I say all these things, like, think again to how Trevor opened the show, DJ does mock drafts with his ears.
Mm-hmm.
Mozzie Smith is going in the top 40 of this draft.
Probably, yeah.
But I thought Dallas could have done better here. I really did.
Buffalo Bills getting Quinton Johnston.
I mean,
that's...
That's
it's
fun.
Sick. Speaking of newcomers, though, one of the last ones that I'll point out, we had the New York Giants selecting John Michael Schmitz as the interior offensive lineman in our mock draft that we had this past Monday. DJ also has them taking an interior offensive lineman and a center in particular, but he has them taking Joe Tippmann from Wisconsin. Tippmann has been, it feels like we, when I say that his stock has been on the rise since the offseason began, it was like the media has been catching up to, I guess, what the NFL believes about Joe Tippmann, because wasn't able to work out at the combine, right? And so it's not like the guy's really done anything different. And yet he continues to move higher and higher and higher up mock draft lists until we see him now in the first round. I think this is the first time I've seen him in the first round. So maybe he is another player who top 40 guaranteed, it seems like, with Mozzie Smith, of something that a lot of teams are going to be in on, a big athletic center. And I think this is the Creed Humphrey effect, right? Nobody wants to miss on this game-changing center. Like, it felt like people overlooked Creed Humphrey just because he was a position that traditionally carries a little bit less value. So I wanted to shout him out going to the Giants there too.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating to me. The Giants let all their centers walk in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is, for both New York teams that don't have a center, you can get one in this draft. Because I believe in the long-term potential of Tippmann, John Michael Schmitz, Luke Whipler, Steve Avila, Oluwatimi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I even think, going back once again, looking back at the Senior Bowl week and after watching his guard film, I think Emile Ekior can play center. I really do. So I would go into this draft happily and be like, yeah, I'll find my center in the draft. Now, Giants fans are like, well, why do we have to do it at 25 then? And, you know, there is something to picking your guy, picking the cream of the crop. And I think the Giants looking at center at 25 is a completely reasonable strategy, as much as I know they also like the corners of this draft. But this mock draft just confirms something you and I, Trevor, say every single mock draft Monday. Deonte Banks, Joey Porter Jr., Christian Gonzalez, and Devin Witherspoon are going. And they're going to be gone. Like, yeah, you're not hanging around. Full transparency, I think Baltimore has to move up for a corner. I don't think they just have Joey Porter fall into their lap at 22.
No, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. So, look, there's only 31 selections that you can make in a first-round mock draft, and so there's only so many names that you can get in here. But Brian Branch, not on here. Added to Miwa Adebare, not on here. I don't think Darnell Wright is on here. So those were three that, no, Darnell Wright is here at number 28. Darnell Washington is not here. That's who I meant to say.
Yeah.
So just very interesting. Very interesting that those are three names that we have seen in and out of the first rounds that DJ did not have in his first round mock draft here.
Is Will McDonald of the Chiefs the new Will Levis? You are a cult. Like, it's such a random spot, 31, and everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing it. Like, you get there and you're like, Will McDonald, you are a Chief. And I love it.
Will Levis, you are a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
You are a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Let us know what you guys thought of DJ's mock draft. Hit us up in the YouTube comments, please. NFL Stock Exchange, youtube.com/@NFL Stock Exchange. If you guys are listening to this on audio only, let us know what you thought of our thoughts on the mock draft or some other ones when you go and look at DJ's mock draft over at NFL.com, which I would encourage all of you guys to do, because DJ is awesome. He's one of the best in the business, not only what he does, but he's just a phenomenal dude as well. So make sure that you go give him a click, go read the mock draft, and then comment on this YouTube channel of what you guys thought was the thing that stood out to you the most. If you guys are listening on audio only, you want to get on the conversation, at Tampa Bay Trey, at Connor J. Rogers, same thing on Instagram as well. We got one more episode coming for you this week. Tomorrow, we are doing the same thing, but for Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft. Like I said, we were blessed. We got two incredible mock drafts that we get to look at. These are two of the most plugged in guys in the business. And so next up, it's the Godfather, man. We're gonna go through and give you our biggest surprises from Mel Kiper's latest 3.0 mock draft. Connor, you got anything before we get out of here?
This is fun. I really enjoy this. You know, we'll do our best, hopefully, to get to talk to those guys one day. But it is fun that, you know, they just do such a good job of it. They have connections that are pretty unmatched in this industry. And I always enjoy it, Trevor, when, honestly, you and I think of something a couple of days before they release these, and even if it's not the same player, right? Like Tippmann going to the Giants. It's like, it's cool we had John Michael Schmitz going to the Giants. Like, sometimes insane ideas we come up with land. It's like throwing blind darts. We have a good time with it.
Look, sometimes we're good at this.
I mean, we've never missed on a prospect.
It is, you know, if you go back all the way.
If you check every single
evaluation. It's pretty crazy that we've never missed on a prospect. Obviously, we're just joking around, but appreciate everybody listening to the podcast. Connor's not joking around. He's never missed on the podcast. He's going on 6 years here.
Ever hear of Zach Wilson?
Yeah.
We're done.
Appreciate everybody listening to the show. On the next episode, not only are we going to go over Kuiper's mock draft, but we're also going to lay out for you what this show is going to look like over the next month and a half. We're going to tell you what's coming up on Monday and the good stuff that's coming up after that. I'm Trevor Sikkema. That's Connor Rogers. Thank you guys so much for listening to the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. See you guys next time.